Welcome to Film School Radio, the on-air online showcase for the best in independent documentary and foreign films, every Friday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Pacific and online at filmschoolradio.com. I'm your host, Mike Kaspar. The Ride Ahead illustrates the compelling power of one person truly determined to live life on his own terms as he navigates the barriers before him while energizing those around him. Together with a loving family and a community of friends, Samuel Habib, pushes forth his life's ride ahead. The film is called The Ride Ahead, and we're joined today by the co-directors of the film, Samuel Habib and Dan Habib. To both of you, welcome to Film School Radio.
Hi, how's it going?
Nice to be here.
Thank you. Samuel, was there something that you wanted to begin our conversation with?
Hi, my name is Samuel Habib. My pronouns are he and him. I am the co-director of our new film, which is titled The Ride Ahead. I work part-time at the Westchester Institute for Human Development as a multimedia production assistant and presenter. I'm also a college student. Thanks for interviewing me.
And I'm the co-director, Dan Habib, and I'm Samuel's father, very proudly. And I'm also the producer of the film, and I also work at the Westchester Institute for Human Development and make films under the Like Right Now Films company.
Very good. Well, first question I have for you, Samuel, is how did this idea for The Ride Ahead, how did it come about?
I've lived in Concord, New Hampshire my whole life, and the schools here are pretty inclusive for students with disabilities. I was in general education classes all the way through school, and I had a lot of friends and was part of clubs and sports, but things felt confusing after I graduated. I wanted to go to college, get a job, live on my own, but no one tells you how to be an adult, let alone an adult with a disability. I suggested an idea to my dad, who is a filmmaker. How about I interview badass adults with disabilities about their transition to adulthood? I decided to start by interviewing people I already knew, like Judy Heumann, Bob Williams, and Keith Jones, because they are people I look up to. They are great advocates and role models for kids and young adults with disabilities. I wanted to ask them and other people I admired about their transition to adulthood to help me and others be successful. Success can be defined in many ways. These are just people I wanted to have as mentors. We wanted to focus on people who would be honest and tell it like it is.
We'll get into your mentors in the film because in a few minutes here, but they're amazing people. So good to see them and get a chance to get to know them a little bit better. I do want to talk with both of you about how the collaboration came about. How did that evolve? So how did you collaborate with Dan, your father, and all of this? And getting the film developed and certain aspects of areas of responsibility. How did all of that come together?
We worked together on most parts of the film. I have the awesome role to do the individual interviews. I compose the questions with my voice, and my dad programs them into my communication device. Although we work together as a team, each person involved with the production of this film has their strengths that we try to highlight in different ways. I have enjoyed being able to work with my dad so closely on something we are both very passionate about. Also, we created an advisory board for this film project. Advisory board members gave us awesome feedback on the film, and for our educational materials and outreach and publicity campaigns.
So I think Samuel covered really important ground there, and I'll just say that, yeah, I've been doing documentary work, both photojournalism and film work, for about 35 years now, and to have everything come together in our lives at a time when I could work with Samuel, who's now 24, but we started this when he was 20, back before COVID, the COVID pandemic, and to work with my son on this, to think about what's a project that we could meaningfully do together in a really authentic way. And the guiding light from the beginning was it should be from Samuel's point of view, this whole film. And as you saw visually with the cameras attached to Samuel's wheelchair, to his own voice narrating the film, to the interviews that he led, it was all from his point of view, but we wanted to take it even a step further. And as Samuel alluded to, we brought on other creative people and we went out of our way to hire disabled people for this production. And we made a commitment from the beginning to have a majority of our production and outreach crew be people with disabilities. And we've completely lived up to that. And that was a major commitment, and it wasn't a passive effort. We had to go out and recruit and find really talented people with disabilities to play a wide variety of roles in this film. And that's one of the things we're most proud about. And it also really informed the disability justice lens on the film.
This isn't a question, it's more of an observation. One of the things that makes the Ride Ahead such an enjoyable watch, and I think this is a tribute to you, Samuel, is the sense of humor in the film, in the telling of the story. So my congratulations to you on that. Let's talk a little bit about specifically the disabilities that are part of you.
Yeah, and I'll just preface that by saying we also are really excited about the opportunity to raise awareness about Samuel's very rare genetic disorder that created his disability. So he'll explain what that is, but it's also another big point of advocacy for this film.
I have GNAO1 neurodevelopmental genetic disorder. I found out through genetic testing in March 2019. GNAO1 is caused by a mutation in a protein coding gene. It caused my cerebral palsy, epilepsy, and speech disorder. There are only about 300 people in the world that have been diagnosed with this disorder.
So we're very involved with the BOW Foundation, the BOW Foundation, and they're the international group that really helps organize families. It's an all-volunteer organization, and we're actually screening the film for them in Boston later in June, and very involved in volunteering for that foundation. And we're trying to use this film as a vehicle for awareness about that specific rare disability, but also rare disorders in general.
One of the things about the film that it's a full look at the life that you lead, Samuel. And one of the things that's instrumental, and we're evidence of it during our conversation here, is the way that you communicate with the world, your communication devices that you have. What are the things about it that I know what are the frustrations and what are the advantages that you feel like you gain from being able to use these different technologies, evolving technologies, I assume, right?
I agree that it is really slow and frustrating to use a device, especially because it's gotten harder to move my arms because of my GNAO1 neurodevelopmental disorder, and it is really hard for me to talk. That's why we put the scene in the film where I'm speaking out the words one by one, and my dad is repeating them. Then we show him programming them into the device. I think that shows that it takes a long time to get the words into my device. We also showed Bob slowly typing his words in his scene. We also wanted to show that I communicate better with people that are patient and who talk to me in an age-appropriate way.
If I could just interject too, Samuel gets asked a lot, well, how should we better communicate with you and other people with disorders and disabilities that affect their speech? And I think you developed a really great answer, Samuel, so I thought you may want to share that. It's pretty brief.
Be patient and do not talk down to me. Yeah. Ask me how I best communicate. Slow down the pace of the conversation to create more space for me to contribute. If you don't understand me, ask me to repeat what I said. If I'm typing on my device, don't start another conversation. Please wait for me to finish.
We'll talk about that at some point because absolutely, it's a very powerful part of the film. I mean, just thank you. Thank you for bringing us into your world and allowing us an opportunity to learn and to do better. I want to talk about your mentors because that's a really fun part of the film that we get a chance to meet some amazing people in the film that I just, I knew of a few. I knew Maison Sayoud from Comedy Central, but so many of the other, and obviously I knew Judy Heumann from her work, from her pioneering work on the Americans with Disability Act, from Crip Camp, and just what amazing human being she is. But some of the others I was not familiar with. How did you decide on these particular people? How did you bring them into this?
I'll speak to that a little bit. You know, it took us a lot of time to do the research. We probably had 30 or so people who we had explored interviewing. And then Samuel did the research. You know, he read up on people, listened to their interviews, and eventually decided who it was that he really wanted to engage with. And I think a big part of what came of that was as you started talking to people, right, Samuel, like who gave you some of the most powerful advice? So I don't know, do you want to talk a little bit about the advice you got from Maysoon, for example, that really helped you connect with her?
The advice I got from Maysoon was, you are not alone. Find your community. That was powerful advice because I've always had a strong community, starting with Beaver Meadow Elementary School in Concord, New Hampshire. I'm continuing to find my community at NHTI Community College in the disability justice community, at work at the Westchester Institute for Human Development, and in my hometown of Concord.
Can I just say, I mean, they're all great. I thought Lydia XZ Brown was terrific. I thought she was very powerful. Keith Jones, Andrew Peterson. So many of these people that we see in the film, and of course, Judy, they speak about a full and rich life that they're enjoying, that they have experienced, the challenges, obviously, but the things that come across is just that they live a life that is to be envied and to be aspired to. And I thought that was terrific.
That's well said. Yeah, exactly.
In terms of a lot of the film is about your life and your transition from part of your adolescence into adulthood. That's a lot of what drives the film. Tell us about a little bit about the obstacles that you faced, some of the things that the greatest obstacles and how you've overcome some of them.
The biggest challenge for me is getting into the homes of my friends and family members. Sometimes I also get too tired to stay up late, so I miss out on going to bars, parties, and dates at night.
I remember during the interview with Allie Stroker, Samuel said something about, I can't wait to, I just miss going out at night. And she's like, you know, being out late at night's overrated, basically. That's when you get into trouble. I don't think people understand if you don't drive a 350-pound wheelchair like Samuel, one step is like, I always used to say the Berlin Wall, but that kind of dates me now because not everyone knows the Berlin Wall. I'm sure you do, but not everyone knows that. But it's like, it's a huge barrier. To have even a 6-inch step, you cannot get into someone's home. And so we really appreciate and cherish those people that have accessible homes or that are willing to meet in more accessible spaces for Samuel, because it really affects someone's social life.
I want to get into the heart of the filmmaking in this film. You are award-winning filmmakers, so congratulations on that. What was your favorite part about making this film?
I love to travel, so my favorite part of making the film was going around the country with my dad, seeing new places, filming with my GoPros, and meeting all of these cool adults with disabilities. Like Keith Jones, who is a hip-hop musician and human rights advocate. He is hilarious.
Yes. He is absolutely hilarious. There's a lot of, again, as I said, there's a lot of humor in the film. And
Samuel's a very funny person, has a great sense of humor. And we were actually did an event in Boston at the Independent Film Festival Boston the other day. And Keith Jones joined us for that event because he has family in Boston. And he had never actually seen the full film. It was wonderful to sit with him and watch it. And one of our favorite moments of the film, what would you want to say, Samuel, what your favorite line is in the film that comes from Keith? Take Samuel a minute to just say it. Go ahead. Always. Bag it. Always. If you saw the film, you know where we're coming from.
Yes, I know exactly what you're talking about.
This will get people to see the film. Always bag it.
Always bag it.
Sam actually wanted to name the film Always Bag It. He decided to try it ahead instead. And there's a great animation, you may recall, from the film where after he gives that advice, he said, you see Samuel being completely encased in a condom from the head to his toes over the wheelchair. And that's, we had these incredible animators from Soul Proprietor Studios who did remarkable work on the film. And we're so excited for those hilarious and sometimes very moving moments through animation also.
Yeah, sage advice. We should all take that to heart. That's
right.
With a few minutes I think we have left, I don't want to, I wanted to find out about the takeaway from making this film and any future work, by the way. I hope that you're in looking at other projects ahead, but either one of those questions, either what you took away from the film as a filmmaker or what you have in the plan for the future, Samuel.
How about you do the what you want audience to take away? I'll take the other question about the future.
Yeah.
My goal for the film is that people won't talk down to disabled people. I want everyone to know that disabled people demand respect and rights. And I want other young adults with disabilities to have the same opportunities that I've had for healthcare, inclusive education, college, assistive technology, jobs, making friends, advocacy, and independent living. I hope parents who will watch this film will see that they should include their kids in everything, like my family has done. And I hope schools and colleges who watch this film will commit to include disabled students alongside their non-disabled peers. All of my schools have been inclusive, and that made a big impact on my education and led to my life now as a filmmaker. Our film will let people learn from disability role models about how to live a full life with a disability as they transition to adulthood. This film will help people understand how to talk to me and other people with communication challenges. Young people with disabilities who have seen the film so far have told me that they have the same questions as I do about dating, sex, moving out of their own family's home, how to respond when people talk down to them, work, and college. That means a lot to me.
Yeah, and so in terms of, I think Samuel has obviously tremendous goals for this film, and we are very impact oriented with our films. We don't make films just to make films, and we love film festivals, but that's not the end all be all. We want the films to be out in the real world, in colleges, in schools, at conferences, working for nonprofits, in communities. So we, you asked about what's next for us. And it's kind of a good opportunity to talk about the nature of independent filmmaking, which is you don't finish a film and then just move on to the next project. You try to make the most of this film that you created and have it, go all over the place and have impact. And that doesn't happen passively. We have to be very active in creating a national community screening campaign, an educational campaign, finding a distributor, which we're still trying to do right now for broadcast, finding sales agents. And so really for the next 2 years, we'll probably be working on events and outreach and traveling and pushing this film out there into the world. And that in itself is really a full-time job before we even think about starting another film project.
Well, yeah. And I see from the website, by the way, I want to let people know they can go rideaheadfilm.com to find out more about the film. It is in the beginning stages of its festival run. June 8th and 12th, you'll be in Down Under. At the Sydney Film Festival. And then after that, the prestigious Sheffield Doc Fest. That'll be around that time, the 12th, 13th, and 15th. And then also coming up on DC Docs Film Festival, June 15th. So got a busy June ahead of you. I can imagine the reactions, as Samuel, you were describing, will continue. It is, as I said, illuminating educational. It is also fun. It is also endearing and heartwarming, and also without covering up the warts and all the struggles that you face. And so it's all of those things. So my congratulations to both of you. Do we want to talk about the award that the film, or you've won already?
Sure. Do you want to talk about the award for the short film?
Our short film, My Disability Roadmap, which was in the New York Times in May of 2022, won a 2023 National News and Documentary Emmy Award in late September 2023. The award ceremony was in Times Square in New York City, and I was able to give an acceptance speech. It was awesome.
And I'll just say my wife, Betsy, and I, who of course is in the film and are a huge part of every aspect of our life, just a little more behind the scenes, right? Anna and one of Samuel's wonderful direct support professionals, Molly, was there with us in New York. And it was just an incredible life highlight. And we just were mind blown. Just to be there was an honor. And then to win really was incredible. And just like a couple of asides that'll be interesting to hear. About 6 hours, maybe 5 hours before the award ceremony, Samuel had a grand mal seizure, which is not that uncommon for him, but they happen every couple of months. And he recovered and went on to then win the Emmy and be the first person to ever give an award speech using a communication device. So that's a microcosm of our world right there in one day. Kind of the very high highs and the very low lows all in one day.
Wow. The spectrum of a day. By the way, I do want to also mention your brother, Isaiah, who is terrific. What a wonderful presence in your life, sense of humor, and such a supporter. You can just see the love that comes from him into your lives, into your family's life. So what a great, great opportunity to get to know him a little bit.
Thank you. He's traveling all over the country right now, but we're hoping to get him to one of the screenings. And these guys are very close. And as you saw, enjoy getting tattoos together and drinking beer together occasionally and all kinds of things. Yeah. Like adult men should, right?
Absolutely. Well, enjoy your life. Enjoy the journey you're on with this film. It's such a terrific film, The Ride Ahead. It's been an honor to have both of you on the program, co-directors of the film, Samuel Habib, as well as Dan Habib. Thank you so very much.
It was great to be with you today. Thanks so much for your questions and reactions. We'll keep you posted on the ride ahead.
Yeah, we really appreciate this. It was a great opportunity. Thank you so much. Mm-hmm.
You've been listening to Film School Radio, the on-air online showcase for the best in independent documentary and foreign films. You can find out more about the program at filmschoolradio.com. I'm your host, Mike Kaspar. Thank you for tuning in, and we'll see you next week with another edition of Film School Radio.